Cell phones off if you got them, and turn your hearts on if you got them. I want to begin with just one verse of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. It's a verse that I've read many times before, and reading it with a commentary this time, just so much jumped out at me. Jesus healed her, and immediately she began to serve. And the verb says she started to serve, and she served until she died. So that's the healing touch of Jesus. When we truly know him, not know about him, but when we really know Jesus and we incorporate him into our lives, that he's not only our Savior, but he's our King. He rules over us. Then we serve not once and think, great, we got it over. But that service, that diaconia, really compels us to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives. So that's, I leave that as a thought for you, and let's open with prayer. Lord God, we give you praise that you compel us to serve, not unwillingly, not dragging us into your kingdom, but in a fashion of delight. That having seen you, having worshipped you, our hearts are changed forever. And we just can't wait to follow you and get more and more in touch and in intimate relationship with you. We thank you for all of brothers and sisters who are gathered here, and we give you praise. And we pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us today and give us your word, that having heard you, we will just exit with a new and refreshed mindset for what you want us to do. So we give you thanks and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we've got two great speakers, and I'll let them each introduce themselves. Jennifer and Nicolaides here for the first presentation. I've known her for a few years, and I'm just fascinated with her testimony and how God has raised up a very simple ministry from the basement of a church to a very large warehouse, and all the work that God is doing through her and her staff. So she's going to speak to us, and we're delighted.
Okay. All right. Well, if I don't look at you, it's because I have to read notes, and if I start shaking, just ignore that. So my name's Jennifer Nicolaides, and I'm at the New Life Church in Glenside. And even though I'm not a deaconess, I have been to MercyNet meetings for a couple years, and CityNet, you went to a CityNet retreat, which is really cool, and I'm not a pastor. I think it's because we're a PCA. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Anyway, I'm here to talk about the thrift store and the impact that thrift shops have in our community and also in our church. Now, if I can get a raise of hands from you, how many have even heard or have been in the New Life thrift shop? So, yeah, maybe a third or so. How many have been to the Lighthouse or the Whosoever Gospel? There's another thrift shop down the city, or the Beehive. Yeah. How many go to other thrift shops? How many never go to thrift shops? Oh, honesty. Well, see, not everybody's thrifty, but anyway. what I would like to do, just to start off, I want to kind of divide the room in half, and I don't know if you want to choose what side to do. And what I would like to do is like have this side over here write down. You may want to get like a group, if you want to get one group, if just someone can take notes and just don't take long sentences, just give me a brief answer when I ask a question. But I want you to tell me, what is the purpose and the function of a thrift store? And then on this side over here, if you could tell me what the purpose and function of a deacon is. And so if you want to just get into a small group, maybe someone next to you, but
maybe I can help. How about if this row here, this gentleman, you guys are on that side,
and they're doing the what, honey?
Purpose of a thrift shop. And then a few folks would just turn to a neighbor and come up. What do you think
function and purpose of a deacon is?
Take a few minutes to discuss that, please,
okay.
And then we'll get back together, the whole group. All right, if you could start finishing up and say thank you if you've met your neighbor. And then you get back to your seat.
Thank you. Thanks to the
Okay, I think what we're going to do, I'm going to start with this side of the room, and if you can just give me some brief words, what is the function and the purpose, and what are practical things that a deacon does? So.
He cares?
Okay. And if you can't read my writing...
We identify resources and needs for the church and the community.
What kind of resources?
Christians.
Resources. Okay, what does that mean? Like, what kind of resources?
Physical, practical.
Physical?
Financial. Yeah.
Financial.
Educational.
I'm getting old, my hair. Well,
you had food from over here.
Yeah. You have food. Okay. All right. Food. What else do deacons do? Any other suggestions or ideas?
Encourage one another, rebuking, awesome love.
That's key. That's right. Okay. Any other ideas? Okay. Now, what we're going to do, if you can give me an idea, give me some ideas on what does a thrift shop do, or a thrift store?
Sell clothes.
They sell clothes. What else? They sell other things besides clothes. Yeah. Okay.
Well, they sell it at a reasonable price. And it's affordable.
Sell it. All right.
Make sure that things get used that might otherwise not be.
I can't do one of those recycling, those used things.
The stewards of what we have.
I'm sorry?
Be good stewards of what we have.
Okay. I don't know how you spell it, Stuart. All right, you got that one, Stuart.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Fundraising?
Yeah, you want to make, here we go again. There's the money. What else?
The thrift shop sets up a place where someone in the community has needs can come.
Mm-hmm. So you have an outreach where if they have needs, you can like you said, someone said you sell things at great prices, they're cheap.
It is for profit, however. Usually, so it's all of their economical or affordable, but they it's a for profit.
That's right. Here we are again.
As opposed to non-profit.
Well, they're non-profit, I mean, they, but...
They, you know, the most ones I know, well, are for profit.
For profit. That's right.
They're usually set up for charitable organizations, hospitals, grocery stores.
For... So kind of where your
social support,
kind of your outreach again, your community. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hi Grace. My manager of the thrift store just came in. So anyway, okay. Part of the reason why I did this in the red and the blue, it kind of makes purple. Right. I think when we think of all the things that we have and all the things that we do, it's really because we have Christ who provides and gives us everything. Whether there are gifts in caring for people, giving education, teaching people, caring, loving, providing, giving money, it's all because everything we have is a gift from God. And through many, many of our things that we've gone through, you know, here's like the foot of the cross, being just really focusing that, you know, we have everything is from God, but it's the forgiveness of sins that's really that we're grounded in Christ. And from that, then what we do, it's because we have been blessed so much from God. So that's kind of the... And I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but again, just to even though there's many outreach things that are happening, the really thing that is the most important is the spiritual outreach, that you're really touching the lives and leading people to Christ. So I'll talk about this a little bit later, but what I like to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of my history and tell you a little bit about the thrift store, and also tell you a little bit about who I am. I was born and raised in Colorado, and I won't tell you how old I am, but after finishing college, all the different colleges I went to, I graduated from a Christian college, and yet I continue to struggle with Christianity. Over Christmas, one of my brothers invited me to visit him and his wife here in Philadelphia. So I came for a two-week vacation. I went to an urban ministry class with my brother here at Westminster. I think it was on the other side of the building over here. He was a Westminster student. It was either go with his wife, who was a teacher. So I came with my brother here at Westminster. And one of the first places that we went to in this class, this was in January, it's this like one-month class, they went down to the Skilton House down in the city, and then to Bill Crispin's CUTS Center, the Center for Urban Theological Studies. And I just thought that was, you know, from all those years back, that was one of the first places that I went to. But going down to the city was a culture shock for me. First of all, as we drove down into North Philly, I had never seen a row house before. Now, I grew up in Colorado. You know, we lived on the golf course, you know, the mountains, it's a wide open place. We have apartments, and they have condos now, but I had never seen a row house. And so as you go down to Philly, there's tons of them. The next culture shock that I went through was as I'm driving down with this guy who told me that he was Greek. Well, I grew up in Colorado, and I knew the difference between blacks and whites and Mexicans. To me, Mexican, Greek, what's the difference? I had no idea. There are two movies that I totally can relate to, and I'm sure that everyone can identify in some way with their past and their emotions, their history, through music and movies. One of my favorite movies is My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and as Mrs. Israel said, Jen, we're just the same way. Just like, I don't know, how many have not seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Okay, so, but some of you have, so maybe you'll see it after this. So much of that movie that I could relate to. I came from, I wasn't the Greek, I was the Xeni. Is that the right way to say it, honey? The Greek way. I came from a family, both my parents were an only child. I had no uncles, no aunts, no cousins, nephews. Our family was more the country club people. So that was, I could relate so much to that. In December of 1980, Stassi and I went back to Colorado, and we were married in Colorado Springs. But a week later, we had to go to Ohio to be, I don't know, we were officially married in Colorado, but by the Greeks, we had to be officially married in a Greek wedding, which, again, when you see this movie, I went through all of that. So much that I went through this, it's all my flashbacks. Here, I went through all of this. My kids had to go to Greek school, just like in the movie. I think we fought over every one of our kids' names. My first daughter, I got her name. I said, no, I'm not having my daughter's name after my mother-in-law. That was an issue. So then the next child, I had a boy, and I said, no, no, no. But then after the delivery, I said, okay, I'll call him that name, but we're going to really call him Michael. So of course, for the first year or so, his family said, how is Nick? His name is Nicholas. That's my son's name. Anyway, this is all my flashbacks. When you're Greek, you have to do it after Stassi. Oh, is your grandfather's name Anastasi?
It is.
Okay, Greek, okay. I'm not used to this. I'm from this mutt generation, whatever. The other movie that really hits home to me is The Forrest Gump. Each time that I watch that movie, I laugh and I also cry. No, I was not that Forrest Gump, but I was that Jennifer. I was that wild child who struggled with the past and lived my life always looking for ways to escape. In many of the struggles and pains that I have gone through over all these years, similar to that Jennifer, I'm continually comforted knowing that I'm forgiven and I belong to Christ. And I realized that I would not be who I am and not understand nor have compassion and a heart for mercy that Christ has given if I were to change my past. We all have a history and we all have a story. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the history of the thrift store. We've been in our new location for about 3.5 years in our new 10,000 square foot property. It's been this 3.5 year ministry, but it really began over 20 years ago or so from a food co-op ministry happening in someone's basement or someone's kitchen. Because I married a seminary student, I married into debt. I became involved in this food co-op, which was a cheap way that I could feed our family. It was a place to order and break down the bulk food purchased at the wholesale price. And that was when we had those 50-pound bags of brown sugar and those 5-gallon things of honey, and you're pouring them into jars, and there's flour all over the place. It was a cheap way that we were able to get food. And this was before Costco's and Sam's Club and BJ's, which I go to all the time now. But I don't know who decided on that 7% markup, but the excess food or whatever was left over was given away to single moms and others with financial needs. It was through this food broker who I used to order from, Tom Frierson, who said, Jen, instead of the half dozen bags of food that you're giving away, you're paying to give away, he said, with that amount of money, you could fill your whole van with food if you went down to the Philadelphia Food Bank. A few years later, this food co-op ministry became the community food cupboard ministry and has continued and still exists. It has been a way that many churches, small groups, individuals, not just giving food, but they develop relationships with those from the community or whoever shows up. This reminds me of the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, where Boaz made sure that when Ruth gleaned the fields behind the harvesters, how God blessed her with plenty to care for others. Ruth sets the example of a woman who worked hard and steadily, a woman of sorrow, but also a woman full of compassion. Well, shortly after the food cupboard was handed over to deacons, we moved to another part of the basement. This is New Life, which is the old Casa Connie, and there's like rooms all over the place. I began doing the same thing with clothing in that closet that we were in. We began receiving hand-me-downs, even damaged clothes from a few stores, where we would spend hours sorting, organizing, hanging this clothing in this little closet, and then giving it away. And a lot of the people that would come, they would come to the food cupboard, and then they could come right after the food cupboard and then just get all the clothing that they needed. It was this one woman, Marie Allowelt, years ago. She's the woman who started the ministry of feeding the homeless down at Logan Circle. She opened this closet door that we were in into this classroom, and she suggested that I start a thrift store. The goal was to charge a minimal amount for each item instead of giving everything away, and to teach people it is better to give than only receive, and that we could use that money to support the deacons so that we could minister to women in crisis. Well, in 1995, and again this is years ago, Nicholas Black, the director of our children's ministry at that time, he allowed me to start a thrift store, but only part of the classroom. And I would say the classroom was probably about the size of this, so they gave me about where this one place went out of business, and I had these dividers, so the thrift store was kind of like from here to here. Well, as donations continued to come, started charging, I didn't even mark things, everything was, the Trinitarians that we are, everything was $3, blah, blah, blah. The more expensive stuff we would tag, but then people would take the tags off of it, and then it sold for $3. So, anyway, as the thrift store continued to grow, I gradually took over the classroom. This place went out of business. I bought these rolling racks. So what we would do, we would, on Monday morning, we would roll all these racks, take up this whole classroom. Saturday afternoon, we had to roll everything back behind this division here because this was a classroom and because the church did not have enough room for a thrift store by itself. Throughout the week, and on nice days, we'd have outdoor sales. In the summer, I used to use the hallway since the nursery school was on break. And whenever allowed, we'd have the upstairs indoor bazaars and flea markets, store things wherever I was allowed and not allowed. The donations continued to increase, but so did our sales. That location was not big enough. One disadvantage was the work that we went through every week, rolling the room back and forth. People still can't believe that we used to do that. But like I say, the thrift store today isn't as calm. Now that we're big, we're still working just as hard. The other disadvantage was not be able to handle a truckload of donations that would come on Saturday afternoon, basically because we had no place to put it. And the church did not want us to use their parking lot and their hallway and entranceways to clutter with all the donations that were coming in. So 4 years ago, we presented this video to our church to communicate the outreach and the impact that this business ministry was having in our community. It seemed like years, but we finally got the okay from the session and then from the congregation to refinance the church's mortgage in order that we could purchase this building that we're now in. Interestingly, I showed, we had this, our little Christmas party with the staff and our board members. It's a way to have reunity with them. We showed this video, and what we were trying to do was communicate, this place, this thrift store, this and this little small place is not big enough. I think we're struggling with that right now. Our 10,000 square foot place is not big enough. So let me tell you a little bit about the value of a thrift store. Our thrift store has been blessed having staff, volunteers, board members, donors, and shoppers continually learn and be involved in our ministry and our opportunities to share the reason why we do what we do. We finally updated our webpage just last week, after my kids. We still have corrections, and which is neat about web pages, you can continually make changes and corrections on it, just like you do in a thrift store. But I'd like to show a video that this woman came into our thrift store and asked if she could do this video. And I actually didn't think about it until about 2 days ago. So this video can just show you some things, and then hopefully it'll answer some of the questions that you have about a thrift store. Okay.
The computer cannot go on standby during play.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Let's find out.
Assistance for a lot of needy people. We try to provide quality, low-cost items.
I mean, we really believe in recycled items. So we live in an area, in a country that has so much, so we try to, people are very willing because the donors and the customers are the lifeblood of the store. Without them, we don't exist. So, we try to make it a place that's friendly for them to donate, easy for them to donate. We're constantly working on ways to make the shop a more intuitive place to shop at, a pleasant experience for them to shop at.
Things that are in there, like furniture, anything heavy.
Are you a volunteer or do you work here?
Okay.
How long have you been here?
6 months ago.
All right. What made you want to come and work here?
I moved up here with the other state of my sister. She got me a job here. Her church. This is her church, right? I don't know what church I'm going to. She got me a job.
We were affected by Hurricane Katrina.
You're having a break at the moment?
Yeah, sit down.
Or clothing, for example, donations would come in. We ask people that they bring them in bags. Most of the time that happens. It's the easiest way for people to transport them anyway, so they usually come in large trash bags, or boxes, or bins, depending on whatever people have. Those are deposited. We have a large clothing bin in the back, from which the clothing sorter will then look at each of those clothing items, and they will separate them by gender, they'll separate them by size, by quality. If something is there that perhaps is too stained or too worn or torn or ripped, that we will rag, we'll give that away to a vendor. And then the floor person out here on the floor, they'll go back with a shopping cart and take them a bunch of clothing with them. They'll take it out here, they'll steam it, they'll put it on hangers, they'll tag it and price it.
But it's a great place to work, and the people I work with are wonderful. We have a bunch of
yes, I am.
We have.
There's
a storm. But yeah, it's really great, and we all get along, and it's just a fun place to work.
So what are you doing here?
What I do is I hang, I tag, and I price, and then I tell and I put them back on the rack. The clothing department. I do men, women, and children.
That would be a full-time job.
It is a full-time job, and I am full-time.
Gosh, you've got some great stuff then.
Yeah, this just all came in, and I'm just getting ready to mark them down, and then we'll put them out my
door.
What made you want to work here in the first place?
I love thrift stores. I'm a thrift store buyer. I always went to thrift stores. I think they're amazing. I think they're the best deal around. And I know clothing, and so this is why I'm into this department.
We try to have a unique approach to a thrift store, where our main area in front of the showroom is set up in such a way that it's accessorized to look like the furniture would be in a home, which is often gives people a much better vision of how they might use it in their house. among the people that work here, we have people who have been previous designers and things like that, so they have a flair for designing rooms.
Why we're doing what we're doing, that we have the ability to be supporting other community outreach things, such as the Abington PAL, which is this kind of the police athletic league, and that's kind of giving kids a place to be spend where they spend their time. Churches becoming involved in serving meals, but then giving, you know, bags of food to people, not just people in our church, but it is people in the whole community. Anybody, you don't have to have, you know, your social security or anything like that. It's near basically, it's an outreach to give food away. We've been supporting Alpha Pregnancy, which is actually, it's in the Philadelphia area, you know, supporting pregnancy. We've been supporting Bethany Christian Services, which not only does foster care, but adoptions, urban family. That's another thing where they're teaching, going through the schools. They just received, I think, a grant to be able to have the okay to even to go into the schools of Philadelphia to teach abstinence versus condoms and things like that. So it's those kinds of things that, you know, we're very much, you know, we really believe in the things that we're supporting. You know, when we support things, it's, you know, not gonna, it's something that, you know, follows, you know, what our beliefs
are. I just moved to the area. My fiance's from here, and I don't want anything stressful in terms of employment right now. So yeah, this was perfect. His mom moved here, and they're part of the New Life Church, which all of the proceeds go. So they just referred me here, so I just come part-time and help out. And I'm really good at this. I have a lot of experience, and, you know, you kind of know what sells and what doesn't, retail experience. So that's how I ended up here.
I was looking for work that would be much more directed toward directly helping people instead of just making stuff for people. So I wanted to be more directly involved in meeting people's basic needs. So the real motivation for me to work here was to be involved in the work of the gospel. That's basically why I wanted to come here.
From things that I've gone through, that has given me, you know, it has given me a heart for people that struggle, you know, emotionally and physically. And I think because I've gone through a lot of suffering, in a lot of ways, brain surgery, things like that, it's, you know, it's just an appreciation of life, and it's an appreciation. And to be able to identify with people that have struggles, and that's just,
I like working here because I think that it's like better than working most retail jobs, because there's like an actual like point to this store. It's not just like to make money. Like, we have other stuff in mind.
The volunteers, people from the church will come and volunteer. People from other churches will volunteer. People will come in and look at the store and maybe say, well, this is a nice place, I'd like to volunteer here. We treat a volunteer the same as we do an employee. We have, they fill out an application. Since we're part of the church, we follow their policies for hiring and things like that.
A whole truck up with, you know, not just clothing, but, you know, they need dishes, and they need towels, and they need blankets, and they need, people don't realize what a blessing it is to have a request to give away a whole truckload of furniture, because at the same time, a whole truckload of furniture comes in, and it's just basically we're putting it, you know, God's blessing us in so much, so it's just kind of funneling it in different directions.
And what have you found today?
It's a dress. It looks like sort of just like something you've been wearing to a cocktail party or something. But I mean, it looks brand new. It's still got the tag on it, in fact. And it's $10.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a really good price.
I'm going on a cruise, so I think I'm going to wear it for that, for the cruise, because they have a bunch of, like, evening parties and stuff.
Do you shop here often?
Yeah, I come every Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And do you find a lot of things?
I find so many things. Last Wednesday I found another dress, Vera Wang. It's really, really nice. Mm-hmm. They fit perfect. And I mean, I do most of my shopping here, probably.
Hey,
yeah.
I wanted to work here because the atmosphere, the background that people have here with the church, and my husband and I are Christians, and we thought it would be a nice place for me to work, a good fit, since I can't drive to work, we only have one car, and he needs it, and it's a walk to get here, and it's really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good cause, too, so that factored into our decision, too.
Has become very well known in our community. God continues to use this type of ministry to further his kingdom. We daily see continuous ways that God is bringing people into our doors where we can share not just the word, but show the love of Christ in our deeds. Thrift stores have that opportunity. I've learned a lot from these ACTS seminars. They're these Association of Christian Thrift Store things, ministries, where it's basically these seminars. We were down at Asheville this couple months ago, and the majority of the people that are coming to these are supporting rescue missions. Most of the rescue missions throughout the country are funded, partially funded, from grants and thrift stores. And the neat thing is that they're really reaching out to the people that are down in the pits, and they're meeting those needs as they come into the shelters. And these thrift stores give these rescue missions opportunities to change, and the other things that the rescue missions are doing, but just to change lives, to teaches people how to live day to day with just the responsibilities. And Heather Rice will be coming to speak later she's from the Whosoever Gospel Mission. But running a thrift store is like turning chaos into order. Like when the donations come in, it's sometimes overwhelming. It's kind of like a clean house never stays clean. You think you're getting everything done, and then another truckload of stuff comes in, and it's always chaos there, but order. We've been very blessed to have Bill Crispin. He's the director of CityNet. He has spent much time helping our management become better organized, help us develop our annual budget, ways a board should work, our job descriptions, ways to communicate more clearly. And sorry, I still haven't learned that PowerPoint, but maybe one of these days my teacher husband will show me how to do that kind of stuff. Anyway, as Bill would say, what once was a small mom-pop store has become a large retail business. And going through all that we have gone through has not been easy. I think we're continually learning from all our mistakes. When I started the thrift store, it began on a volunteer basis, but since the beginning, we have been self-supporting from day one. We did have free rent being in the classroom of the church, and I did have free clothes for my kids. That was great. We started out small, but have given our deacons more money and have given away more stuff than you can imagine. We're now beginning to track a lot of our diaconal giving. We kind of even program a register of non-sales things that we're doing, just so that we can be better tracking, and I'll explain some of that a little bit later. Bill asked me to write down just some connections and impact that our thrift store was having, not just with the financially, but in other ways. And this is similar to the chart that I had shown you before. And as we were writing things down, it's kind of like one thing, one organization, one thing just continued to come up. I don't know if I can kind of explain this. This is similar to how the questions I was asking. What we did, we kind of, here, these are the organizations that we're supporting. We have been given to, our bylaws say 50% of our giving goes to our deacons. 50% is our outreach. And so as you look, this is kind of hard to explain, but we kind of try to do this chart on, this is our local, this is our regional, this is our global giving. So here, what we are, I'm sorry. On our giving, what we're doing, we're giving to our deacons, but we're also giving to our local organizations. And again, these are things that has to go through my board on why we're giving and what we're doing. Our focus is that we are supporting the poor, the orphans, the widows, the strangers, the aliens, the fatherless, the homeless. So financially, that was approved for our giving for this next year, is for us to be giving to our ICU local. We're going to be giving to Cradle of Hope, which is a house where there's a couple families, single mothers, and where they're basically teaching the women, you know, how to take care of the children, but also to take care of the jobs. Just like I said in the video, we have been supporting Urban Family. We were supporting Harvest USA, but we felt like that really wasn't part of, even though I love their organization, that wasn't really in our philosophy of what we're doing. But we are giving to, like, Bethany Christian Services. We just got the okay. We're giving, the other outreach that we're giving to is Young Life, and we give things to Young Lives, which is the young teenagers that are pregnant. And again, we're very pro-life. And it's really neat to have the opportunities when people are asking why we're giving to what we're doing, you know, where we are. It's amazing to have opportunities to really talk to people when they come in the doors. We just got the okay. We have been supporting things called Tent Makers, which is the money that's going directly to Uganda. And my husband and I are now on this team even though I've sent my kids on all these mission trips, this is going to be my first mission trip to Uganda. And my husband went with my son a couple years ago. But it's been really neat how we have been supporting, you know, sending clothes to any kind of missionaries, mission teams going, or getting a lot of stuff there. And in fact, this is one of the missions this year is supporting this Tent Maker, so it's going directly, and we see the money going directly to the needs. So that's more on the global. And then here, when I'm just talking about the goods that we give away, this is where the exciting thing for me is, you know, here I happen to have the opinion from the board on where our financial giving is. But here, this is a way that it's amazing the stuff that the connections that we have that we're able to give things away. We had, got connected with this place called One House at a Time. It's run by the Lutheran Family Services, Lutheran Church. And basically what they're doing, they're basically giving, they're taking, he'll come, he needs, you know, they need beds, they need dressers, you know, all that kind of stuff. And because our donations, we are so overwhelmed, I think just this last week they came for another load of things that they're giving away, which is a way, you know, it would be great if people paid a little bit, but this is really an outreach that they're doing, is really meeting the needs there in the relationships that they have. We've been giving, actually, I have this other chart. We had to do a presentation about 2 weeks ago at our church, and we put together some of the things I'll just put it in here. And I don't know if this is easy to see, but what we were able to do is even some of the things that we've been doing as we're looking over, because what we've kind of programmed our register so that we have our diaconal and then we refund it under so it's basically we're seeing where we're giving things to. One of the things, every Wednesday we do free books for teachers. We not only that, we give a ton of books away for teachers, but we send books for a better world. One of the neat things that we're doing, there's this place on Broad and Master. A guy has a church down at the YMCA there. And we drove down, took the truckload, took the van packed with stuff, lined, I don't know if people are familiar with Broad and Master, we kind of filled, I put box after box after box after box of stuff, a lot of knickknacks, a lot of excess stuff that our thrift store has, and came back with, I brought back the trash so we didn't have to trash, flattened box, I think I brought, came back with a box of books and a half a box of clothing, which was kind of cram clothing and just to get it. But we have taken some stuff down at 24th and Jefferson, basically have been involved, just having like these free flea markets and giving things. Now our goal is, you know, it's great to be giving and getting things, but you know, we do have a vision to be starting some thrift stores in the city. Well, Bill Crispin has this idea to do like these dollar thrifts, you know, and that we could have small local that's accessible to people. My husband's a teacher down at Simon Gratz, and just all the different neighborhoods that are down there. It would be really cool for us to be able to, even though we're, as you saw in that one video, where we're bailing a lot of the clothing and things that we're giving away. I think this last month we only made, and you know, it's a blessing that they come and just because we need the space to get rid of things. But we only made around $700-$800 on a month of giving stuff away. And we're thinking, man, if we could have these thrift stores that were down the city to be teaching people, you know, you can still get great stuff. This was my $4, all this stuff comes. You can get great stuff, like the girl in the video said. Okay, then let me go up here to services. This is a thing that we have a lot of kids, after school, kids were doing job training. Just thrift store planting. Actually, Grace is the girl, she's down at Spirit and Truth, but kind of the goal was to bring her on and to be training her all the stuff you need to know about a thrift store, and for in the vision is to then be planting, sending these people off to plant thrift stores. And then we look at our relationships. We have a morning prayer time, that's a paid prayer time, where it's a way that our staff is able to come in together in the morning, that we can pray for those, the people that we have connections with. It's to pray for each other. And it's really a time that that the whole staff, where we're communicating, and the whole staff understands what the vision and what the purpose of our thrift store is. Like the Caitlin who said, you know, she, you know, it's not just a money-making thing. We are making money, but at the same time, it's just the connections that we have and the relationships that we have coming. We had a guy spent Easter with our family, and he came for Christmas. He's one of our transvestite guys who comes in. But it's a way to, you know, you love people no matter what they've been through, what they are, but it's a way, it's opportunities to really show the love of Christ to these people. It's been a blessing to have places like Urban Outfitters and Macy's donated their after Christmas stuff, which we were thrilled again. They just donated again. We have it packed in storage. But it's just neat to have the connections and just the flow that our goods can go to. Let me see how we're doing. I guess I can kind of wrap up. What have we learned? What have I learned? What used to be my hiding place, where when I really started the thrift store, it was a time where I was really struggling through a lot of things. I was wonderful to go to counseling for, it seemed like for years and years. But a place that I used to hide out, get away, be alone in a closet and let God meet me in those pits. But God has given not what I expected, but much more than I could imagine. And I realize that everything that we have is a gift from God, including a heart of compassion and mercy, and the blessings that a thrift store can provide in so many ways. And that is that we need to love our neighbor and that we need to really reach out to those in need. And so how can God use community thrift shops? Well, our goal is that we would be able to train others and that we would be networking together, not just having it just in our church, but we need to be networking and working. Bill Crispin has that great idea of those dollar thrift things, the dollar stores. You know, you go to dollar stores and you buy, you know, all your food and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you could do the same thing with clothes. I know that I think probably the cool thing is that because clothing is such an issue with the young kids, you know, some of the schools, they have to wear the uniforms and stuff, which that's pretty good. But then it's the tennis shoes you're wearing and kind of all goes into. But anyway, we want to continue to connect and support other ministries and ministries that show the love of Christ. And I just want to emphasize that thrift stores really do take a lot of time and energy and commitment. I mean, it's great to have a vision for it, but it's also the best way to learn is to get involved and actually experience it for yourselves. And of course, we'll take volunteers, but it's a way to really see, you know, is this something that you really want to do? As this ministry has continued to be a ripple in the pond, and more connections continue to occur, our prayer is to increase the network of churches and believers to be more effective in sharing the gospel of grace, compassion, and mercy. And I hope that I've shown you that the thrift store is a mercy ministry and valuable to the church. Ministry not just to provide low-cost, affordable clothing and items, but also to provide jobs, goods, services, and to develop relationships. A ministry is a witness in our community, in our region, and beyond. A ministry not only in word, but in deed as well. So. Does anyone have questions they have at all?
Anyone use a thrift store in around their church?
Our church, we rent from a facility that already has, a woman has already started in a small classroom, and we want to be able to join with them if they would allow us to collaborate with them. But I keep hearing from everyone, don't take over. So, you know, how do you share something like that? A ministry, if you're both interested, both churches, and you're renting their property.
Well, it's kind of like we've just even had some incidences with some of our staff, you know, not even wanting to get along. In a sense, God really teaches us that, you know, you can't just everybody do their own thing, but, you know, there needs to be unity. And I think that the main thing is that you need to spend the time having communication. You know, this is what, you know, this is what our goal is. What's your goal? You know, how would you do this? And it's always good. Like even when we're doing prices and things, I'm always after people, you know, you need two people's opinion. You know, I may say, you know, on this speaker, I may say $2, you know, he may say, no, that's 150. Okay. So we go to $77 or something, meet in the middle, something like that. But it's a way. There needs, I think, a lot is that you need to spend time, you need to communicate, you need to be asking questions. Why do you want to do it this way? You know, what's your purpose? You know, is it just that you want to have a place just that you can just go to and have your continuous yard sale there, and even though it doesn't sell, keep it there, you know? I think that's the one of the things that we do in our thrift store. We have a rotation. You know, things don't stay there for. It's like every day that you go in, every week the thrift store is going to look different. You know, we have a rotation so that people are seeing things new all the time. And that would even be kind of the vision. you know, to be having other thrift stores is to be networking. But and I think that's probably what the Salvation Armies and stuff do. You know, they only do like their 50%, and then it goes to other thrift stores. You know, we have our dollar racks, you know, but basically because we'd much rather make a dollar than, you know, the 6 cents a pound that we're getting for. Or, you know, do we have another place to give to? But right now we're packed with them. And again, it's a blessing to be able to give to other thrift stores. We started, helped plant one up in Annville, up near Hershey. And their property is like a 30,000 square foot place. You know, but it's, you know, until they got their donor base coming, we had this guy coming almost weekly, coming to get excess donations from us. And I think we overwhelmed the Whosoever Gospel Mission. That was even years ago.
Other questions? Sir?
Yeah, I was mentioned, in fact, you mentioned that you give 50% to the church. Now, I have two questions about that. One, is that a tithe or an offering?
Is that a what?
Is that a tithe or an offering? And the second question I have, is what other programs within the church do the thrift store support?
Well, what we support. We, you know, 50% goes to our deacons, which is covering the food covered ministry that I started. It's covering, you know, I have no idea where a lot of the money is.
If families need counseling, if someone's heat is shut off, the thrift store gives it that 50% to the deacons, and the deacons pretty much have free reign on how they want to use that sort of funds. So it's not a tithe or an offering. It's something that the board has the board has a couple elders and a few deacons on it, and along with the board, they made that decision that 50% will go to the deacons.
In a sense, we have to run a business. We don't have time to be following through. So what we'll do is that we'll get referrals from people. Like we get referrals from Abington Hospital. You know, they have domestic violence. You know, they'll say, you know, why this woman? She needs this. We'll get a referral from Charlie Carl from Abington School. There'll be a family that came here with their, you know, she was evicted. She's now, you know, has four kids. She needs this. So we try to use other places that will be a referral, so that they have the time to. Because if I would give away to anybody who came to ask, you know,
she couldn't run the thrift store.
That's part of, you know, you want to give to people, and there have been situations where, you know, we have just given to people, but you know, you have some people that go from thrift store to, you know, from rescue or whatever.
Some people just use it, you know.
But in a sense, you have opportunities. Okay, like I know the mission. I think you guys, they do that. They'll give a pair of pants. They'll give a pair of socks, a shirt, whatever. You know, I had this one guy come in, and you know, of course, you know, he needed this, and it's like, okay. And then he picks out this leather coat and this briefcase, and it's kind of like, you know, he's probably out selling this stuff so that he could. You know. But it's, you kind of learn from your mistakes, but in the same time, God uses our mistakes.
One of the neat things about the thrift store is the community. The thrift store runs by goods given to them, and the majority of the people that give to the thrift store are not from the church. Mm-hmm. The community sees that the thrift store is so needed in the community that they give, stuff, all kinds of stuff to the thrift store. So the thrift store is not just church. Well, it is just church focused, but it's church, the region, and the world. So that it's neat to see the community see that this Christ-based ministry is valuable, and they'll give it to it. So all the money doesn't just go to the church, because the vision is, I think, much broader.
Related to that point, do the buyers especially and the people who see New Life understand it as a Christian ministry? And I guess what's the difference between New Life and any other secular thrift store? On the front end, I've seen on the back end how it's Christian, but on the front end, does it look or feel any different?
Well, you know, I think maybe it's, I don't know if it's just the way that we deal with people. We've had, had a couple teenagers, you know, shoplifting, and called their parents, brought them back in. I said, you know, if this happened anywhere else, I said, you would have a record. This would be a police record. This happened at Target or wherever. I said, but, you know, we forgive you. But, you know, I think it would be good for you to come in. You should put in some community service time, and then you can work. And it was just really neat to see Joan, who was in the video, you know, say, you know, she said to this girl, we forgive you, but here, you know, you're stealing a $2 shirt, or $1, t-shirts are $1, sorry. You know, but it's like, why? It's a habit, and it's a big teen thing. You know, shoplifting is such a teen thing. But it's just good to forgive people and say, but you know what? Hopefully, I think it was God's blessing that we caught you here in our store, mm-hmm. that we can teach you that, you know what, this is not. And we do, we have this camera, video camera system, which we, it was really tough. We just had a woman, we had a Roseville vase that was like $200 or something. It was in our silent auction, and this lady stole it and put it, you know, stuffed it in her thing, and
we had like that. Oh, yeah,
it's unbelievable the stuff that gets stolen, but, and it's not like we're going to take her to jail or anything, but it's opportunities that you can say, you know what, this isn't what God wants. He wants you to be honest and truthful.
And many, many people will come through the thrift store that will not set foot in your church. Mm-hmm. You know, like this transvestite gentleman. He won't, you know, yeah. He's coming to church now, but it was through the thrift store, through how the people ministered to him, loved him at the same time. He saw that there was a difference. So we don't say, it doesn't say, you know, only holy people come here. You know?
And we had,
it says every, you know, it's open to everyone, and when they come, once they're in, then there's an opportunity that they have to.
Your staff is trained, and they, I mean, they share the gospel.
Not everybody's a Christian.
What's that? Right?
Not everybody's a Christian.
Okay. That works there. But there are a lot of conversations that happen there. Mm-hmm. You know, why are you doing this? Why is, you know, why is the church involved, et cetera? And it's open to many people. But you can share the gospel in ways that sometimes it's very hard if you just walk up to someone on the street. Yes, sir.
Do you see the thrift store as like a connection point for meeting like people's other needs? Like you have services in the corner, like not just giving, but like connecting to them if they like tell you a need of like visitation or stuff like that. Do you see it as like a community point where it's not just a thrift store, but it's like meeting other people's needs? Like you find out a lot of different needs from people who come into the store maybe. Like, have you seen that?
I don't think it's as tight as we'd like it right now, but I mean right now, for instance, there's a person who's suddenly homeless that actually staying with us until she gets back on her feet. A lot of those connections. And I'm hoping that our church will, you know, they're always talking about outreach to the community, sharing the gospel. You could just put a booth right there next to the door and you'll meet more people than we could, you know, your church could possibly minister to in a day, in a month, in a week. But there's such a connection. It's like Jesus going to the well where the Samaritan woman is. The thrift store is that spot in the community where people will come.
Another really cool connection was after I had my brain surgery, I had Mrs. Israel, Selma, Kiner, these Jewish ladies came in and they ministered to me. You know, they took me out to lunch a couple times. You know, and I still have a connection with, you know, this lady. You know, she moved up to Connecticut, but
never been in a church. Wouldn't go in a church.
Oh no! Well, they came because they played bridge upstairs at the church. You know, but they would, you know, they would never come down to the thrift store. But actually, this woman did, and just the connections to with people. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Anybody else? Tyler.
David.
You've got an interesting background, crazy family.
You do or I do?
Yes.
We all do.
Yes. You seem really comfortable working cross-culturally. Can you share how that process evolved? You know, coming from Colorado to urban Philadelphia and then working everybody and treating everyone with respect.
articles that use. I think the
gospel helps her see people as people.
My next door neighbor, I was diagnosed with epilepsy and then went years without driving. My next door neighbor, a black woman, she would drive me to work. She would always
For about seven years.
She would drive me, I probably should have been exercising and walking, but she always gives meals, and so I think I've been fed so much by people that have really touched my life. And
that's an amazing thing. The more that she gives, the more it seems like we get more back.
Amen.
than what we've given, And people, I think, when they know that you care about them, David, they just care back, and usually in bigger ways than when you reach out to them. And when you get past the religion or the skin color or the background or the culture, you're finding out that they're God's creation, and usually they have more to teach you than we try to.
I used to love going down to the Spirit and Truth, the church that Grace goes down to, because it was such a multicultural church, and that was really exciting. It wasn't just it was a Hispanic guy married to an Afro, and it was just, I don't know. And Grace is my Chinese girl, so.